Amen. All right, well, we're there in chapter 14 of the book of Joshua. I'd like you to look down at verse number 6, Joshua chapter number 14 and verse number 6, and notice what the Bible says in Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb," and Caleb is a very famous man, well-known man in Scripture, "and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee." So this is Caleb speaking to Joshua, and he said, you remember what Moses said to you and to me in Kadesh Barnea. Now what he's referring to is the fact that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, Moses had sent 12 spies into the land to spy out the land of Canaan. If you remember the story, or maybe you sang the song as a kid, you know, 10 were bad and 2 were good. 10 of the spies came back with an evil report. 2 of the spies came back encouraged in the sense that it was a difficult task, but they believed that God could give them the land. And those two men were Joshua and Caleb. And of course, as a result of the people's lack of faith, because the 10 spies persuaded the people and scared the people into not wanting to go forward. And by the way, that's what scared people do. I've noticed fear spreads, you know, and that's why sometimes when we have protests and things of that nature, I do my best to try to shield people from those that are afraid, because sometimes when people are afraid, that just spreads like wildfire. You know, and then everybody's afraid. And God even told the children of Israel in when they would go out to battle, if someone was afraid, send them home, you know, because you don't want that fear spreading to everyone else. But Joshua and Caleb, they believed they could do it. And as a result, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they all died out. But Moses told Caleb, and Moses told Joshua, that they would receive the land. Notice verse 7 there. He says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and the children and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now notice verse 10. He says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 40 and 5 years. So he said, I was 40 years old when these events took place. And he said, for the last 40 and 5 years, he said, I've been with you. He said, we spent 40 years in the wilderness. Now we've been 5 years in the land. We've been 5 years in this campaign that Joshua led to conquer the land. He said, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, notice the last part of verse 10. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And so the Bible tells us there, Caleb is telling us, hey, I'm an 85-year-old man, 80. A score is 20. He says, I'm 80. He says, I'm 85 years old. Now notice verse 11. He says, as yet, I am as strong as this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, when I was a 40-year-old young man, you know, he's saying, when I was a 40-year-old buck, he said, I was strong. And he said, I'm 85 years old. And he said, I'm just as strong. I'm just as mad. I'm just as energetic. I'm just as spirit-filled. He said, I'm just as ready to go fight the Lord's battle. Isn't that a good attitude? I hope I get to be 85 years old and I get up here and just rip face and preach against sin and make the homos mad and all of that, you know? I hope that's the, and that's the desire we should all have. He says, I'm 85 years old and I'm ready to fight. He said, I'm ready to take that land. Look at verse 11. He says, as yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. And obviously God had sustained them. Obviously God had blessed him physically. Look at verse 12. He says, now therefore. Now I want you to notice this phrase. He says, give me this mountain. We sing that song, I want that mountain. I want that mountain, I want that mountain. We get that song from this story where Caleb is, as an 85-year-old man, telling Joshua, I want that mountain that Moses promised me. I want that mountain that Moses said I could have. He says, now therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And I like what he says here. He says, if so be the Lord be with me. He says, if God wants to help me, if God wants to partner with me, if God wants to be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And here we have Caleb having a pioneering spirit. He has an entrepreneurial spirit about him. He's saying, I'm not done. He said, I'm 85 years old, but he said, I just got started. He said, I want to do more. I want to accomplish more. And you know, in the Bible, there is this pioneering spirit that is kind of goes throughout Scripture. You'll notice the people that were used of God throughout the Bible, they had this spirit about them that they wanted to go and accomplish and do more for God. And there was more land, and there was more battles, and there was more victories to be won. Now, keep your place there in Joshua. We're going to come back to the book of Joshua at the end of the sermon, all right? So when we're done with the sermon, you'll know what'll be done when we get back to Joshua. But go with me to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. Now, if you're in the book of Joshua, you're going to go past Judges, past 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. I'm sorry, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, we read about this man named Jabez. Now, I think several years ago, some liberal wrote a famous book called The Prayer of Jabez. I never read it, all right? I think it was like a prosperity gospel type thing. But Jabez was a man in the Bible, and he did have a prayer. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and I'd like you to look at verse number 10, but I want you to notice the pioneering spirit of Jabez. He sounds much like Caleb. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And he says this, and enlarge my coast. He calls on God. He said, God, would you bless me and enlarge my coast? He said, would you enlarge my land? He said, would you give me more land? You know what he's saying? He's saying the same thing Caleb said. He said, I want that. He said, I'm glad we've came this far, and I'm glad for the land that we've taken, but there's yet a mountain that still needs to be taken for the glory of God, and I want that mountain. Here, Jabez is praying to God and asking God that he would bless him indeed, that he would enlarge his coast. All right, now keep your place there in 1 Chronicles 4. We're going to come right back to it, okay? So you should have your place in Joshua, should have your place in 1 Chronicles 4. Go with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, towards the end of the Old Testament, you got 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, the first of the major prophets, Isaiah 54. Let me show you another verse that kind of highlights this pioneering spirit, where Jabez says, enlarge my coast, where Caleb says, give me this mountain. In Isaiah 54 and verse 2, towards the end of the Old Testament, you got the big book of Isaiah, Isaiah 54 and verse 2. Notice what the Bible says. It says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. He says, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. He says, let's enlarge this place. He said, let's make the cords longer. Let's make the stakes stronger. Let's bring in more. Let's do more. And throughout the Bible, you have this pioneering spirit. In the Bible, God did not want people sitting around being content with what they had. He wanted them to go out and do great things and attempt great things and accomplish great things for God. Let's go to the book of Luke in the New Testament. You got Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let's see what the Lord Jesus said in a parable along these lines. Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. He says, occupy till I come. In this parable, Jesus is teaching that what Jesus wanted his servants to do is to take the talents, to take the resources, to take the pounds that he had given them, and he wanted them to occupy till I come. Now, some people take this word occupy, and they say, see, occupy means we're just supposed to hold the fort, we're just supposed to stand here, we're just supposed to, you know, take the stand. And look, there are times to hold the fort, there are times to take a stand, I understand that. But when he says occupy till I come, he's not talking about occupy like, let's just keep what we've got here, you know, secured. The word occupy there is more talking about like a military occupation. It's talking about taking possession or control. It's when you know, the military goes in and occupies a city or occupies a state or occupies a nation. What he's saying is, I want you to go. See, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, he's not saying, I want you to sit there and wait for hell to attack you. He said, I want you to go on the offense and I want you to attack hell. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Gates don't move. Gates are defensive. He said, I want you to occupy. I want you to go. He said, I want you to take that mountain. He said, I want you, like Jabez, to enlarge your coast. He said, I want you to strengthen your cords. He said, and strengthen your stakes and lengthen your cords and enlarge your tent. In the Bible, there is this theme of being a pioneer, of going out and accomplishing more and doing more. And what God wants us to do is not to just sit around and say, well, you know, you think the Lord will be coming back soon? Hey, he wants us to go out and accomplish things and be on the offensive for the Lord Jesus Christ. And specifically, when it comes to the gospel. You're there in Luke, go one book over, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 8. When it comes to the gospel and to evangelism, we must develop a pioneering spirit. When it comes to the gospel, we must develop a spirit that says, let's do more, let's accomplish more, let's take that mountain, let's enlarge our coast, let's enlarge our tent, let's lengthen our cords, let's do more, occupy till I come. Hey, I want to occupy Sacramento for the gospel, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or occupy California with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to be having this pioneering spirit. Are you there in Acts chapter 1? Look at verse 8. Notice what Jesus said. This is one of the references that's known as the Great Commission. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said this, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's their local city there, and in all Judea, that would be like our state, you know, California, and in Samaria, that would be like other states nearby, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He says, I want you to go with the gospel. You say, till when? Till you've reached the world. He said, to the uttermost part of the earth. You know, today you and I would say, hey, let's go both in Sacramento and in California, and let's hit Washington while we're at it. You say, when are we going to stop? Hey, till we've reached the world, unto the uttermost part of the earth. See, God has a pioneering spirit, and he wants you and I to develop a pioneering spirit when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to soul winning, when it comes to church plants, when it comes to missions. You're there in Acts chapter 1. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. You're in Acts. You're going to go past Romans, past 1 Corinthians, into the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. Probably the most successful church planner, soul winner, a missionary, preacher, whatever, evangelist, whatever you want to call him, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Here's why Paul was so successful. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, the Bible says this. This is what Paul said. He said, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. He said, I'm glad we've reached Corinth with the gospel. He said, I'm glad we've reached your area, but now let's go to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our end. He said, hey, let's accomplish more. Hey, let's develop a pioneering spirit. He said, let's try to do more. Let's try to enlarge our coast. And I want you to understand something about Verity Baptist Church. At Verity Baptist Church, we are trying to be pioneers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a church where we can all just kind of sit around and look at each other and grow old together, hey, I hope we grow old together. I hope we develop friendships. I hope we can be in fellowship and work together. But listen to me. We are working together to get the gospel out of these walls of this building in our community. You say, how long? To the regions beyond. Amen. To the uttermost part of the earth. Till we've reached everyone. We want to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to be part of Verity Baptist Church, you got to get used to this word, soul winning, or these words. We talk a lot about soul winning. We talk a lot about going out in the community and preaching the gospel. You say, why? Because God talks a lot about it. We're starting this church plant up in Washington. I hope you're excited about that. You know, oftentimes what happens when a pastor gets up and kind of preaches these types of sermons, people get upset and they get scared and they say, well, I don't know. I mean, how's this going to change our church? And this sounds like a lot of work and it sounds like a lot of money and it sounds like a lot of pressure. But listen to me. This is what God has called us to do. And I'm excited about this thing in Washington. You know why? There's a group up there, about 30 people up there in Washington. They've been holding services for a couple of weeks now, just small services before the big launch. And they had 30 people in church on Sunday last week. You know, there's 30 people up there without a church to go to. And here's the problem with Washington is nobody wants to go up there. Let me just let you in on a little secret. Nobody wants to come to the West Coast. Everyone wants to go to the Bible Belt. Everyone wants to go where they can preach against the homos and 400 protesters aren't going to show up, you know, and your property manager isn't going to kick you out and your insurance company isn't going to drop you, okay? You know, nobody wants to come to the West Coast. I mean, you gotta be crazy or spirit-filled or both to want to come start a church in California or in Washington or in Oregon, you know. But here's the thing. There's 30 people up there, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to start a church for them. You say, for who? For whoever's supposed to go up there. We're going to get that church started. We're going to get that church structured. And maybe once we got 100 people up there every week, maybe once they have a nice building and they've got a paid staff position for the pastor and they got a 401k and all the nine yards, maybe we'll be able to bribe somebody to going up there and pastoring that church, you know? And here's the thing. I don't blame them. I don't like California sometimes. You know what I mean? I don't love California until I leave California. Then I remember why I love California so much. Everybody's like, let's move to Texas. Yeah, but then you have to live in Texas. The humidity and the heat, you know, let's go to Arizona. It's like, yeah, if you want to live in the desert, you know, there's a reason why the richest people in the world live in California. It's a beautiful state. There's a reason why every time you watch TV and you look at the United States of America, it's California. It's not Oklahoma, okay? It's not Arkansas. It's California you're looking at. So anyway. Yeah, I love California. You know, I'm not too down on California. But here's what I'm saying. You know, if this thing works out in Washington, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to start a church in California, in the Bay Area, and in Los Angeles, and in Oregon. And we're going to pick all the places on the West Coast that nobody wants to go to, and we'll start a church there. We'll get it up. We'll get it running. We'll get it averaging 100. We'll get a paid position and a 401k and a admin and this and that. And then we'll get some young guy to take on that church. And here's the thing. I'm 30 years old. If God gives me the grace he gave Caleb, you know, I can be pastoring for the next 45 years. Imagine that. Stuck with me for the next 45 years. And here's the thing. If, you know, by the time I die, if we could have churches like Verity Baptist Church up and down the coast of California, up and down the coast of Oregon, up and down the coast of Washington, we're going to turn this part of the country into the hotbed of fundamentalism. People are going to be moving to California from Texas because it's so conservative. You know what I mean? They're going to be moving from other states because, you know, this is such a great place for Christianity. You say, it's not like that now. But look, you say, well, that's quite a vision. The Bible says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I just want to do something big for God. I just want to pioneer and say, you know what? There's a mountain called the East Bay. There's a mountain called the South Bay. There's a mountain called LA County. There's a mountain called Fresno. There's a mountain called Portland, Oregon. Why don't we try something big for God and just do something, see what happens? Let's have a pioneering spirit and let's do something big and great for God. And here's the thing, if that scares you, you may be in the wrong church. Because in the Bible, there's a pioneering spirit. In the Bible, there's this spirit that says, hey, let's do something. We sang this morning, that all the earth may know. That's why we're here. That all the earth may know. With the gospel of Christ, we must go. We have it on our backdrop. That all the earth may know. That's why we exist. That's why Verity Baptist Church was started 6 years ago. Why? That Sacramento may know, that California may know, that the West Coast may know, that there's still a God and there's still a Bible and you can still reach people with the gospel and you can still save souls and you can still help marriages and you can still raise children for the glory of God and you don't have to be a liberal and you don't have to be watered down and you don't have to be worldly. You can stand up and preach the truth and still love people and do what God has called you to do. That's what we're doing. It's a pioneering spirit. We're going to transform. We want to transform this area. We want California and Sacramento to come to a place where no one could write a true history of the state of California and of the city of Sacramento without mentioning Verity Baptist Church and the impact that we've made on this community. I want to give you this morning 5 things that you can help us. 5 things that you can do to pioneer with us in the gospel. 5 things that you can do to help us develop and maintain a pioneering spirit to reach this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you head back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4? say nothing like the sermon. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Look at it, but we'll preach it even if lights go out, all right? 1 Chronicles chapter 4. He's the prince and the power of the air. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Look at verse 9. Either that or somebody keeps hitting lights. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, look at verse 9. He said, what can I do to help? Here's what you can do. Number one, we will preach the sermon, all right? Don't worry. If the lights go out, I'll just keep preaching. Number one, pray for God's blessing on our reach and influence. Pray for God's blessing on our reach and influence. That's where it all comes down to, and that's where it all should come back to, is this word, prayer. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Haven't we gone through some sorrow? Haven't we gone through some trials? Look at verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now notice, he prays this prayer. Jabez says, God, would you bless me? Would you enlarge me? Would you help me to do more, to reach more, to occupy more, to take more land? Notice the last part of verse number 10. And God granted him that which he requested. I wonder if Jabez would have never prayed that prayer if God would have answered him. Sometimes the Bible says ye have not because ye ask not. Sometimes God doesn't give us things because we're simply not requesting them. God says, if ye ask, ye shall receive. If ye seek, ye shall find. If ye knock, it shall be opened unto you. But you gotta ask. You gotta seek. You gotta knock. You gotta go. He says, ye have not because ye ask not. You know, the first thing that you and I need to do, you say, we want to have a pioneering spirit. We want to go out and reach more people, accomplish more for God, start more churches, do more things in the coming years. You say, well, how do we do that? Let's start with prayer. There's a reason why we've set up a ladies' prayer meeting on Tuesday, October 4th, and a men's prayer meeting on Friday, October 7th. You say, why are we going to get together and pray? Because prayer is not a waste of time. There's power in prayer. And oftentimes what we need to do is just come before God and request and say, God, would you enlarge our coast? God, would you bless us indeed? God, will you help us? And I like how he says it. You're there in 1 Chronicles 4, look at verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. And that, notice what he says, thine hand might be with me. Isn't that what Caleb said? Caleb said, if the Lord be with me, he'll give me that land. And, you know, we need to pray to God. God, would you partner with us? Would you keep your hand on us? And will you help us? It starts with prayer. And you know what? Everybody in this room could take time to pray. Everybody, this is something, it's hard. You can say, I'll take one day a week, every Monday or every Tuesday, I'll take 5 or 10 minutes to pray that God will bless the ministry and influence of Verity Baptist Church, that God will bless the soul winners as they go out, that God will bless that church plant, that God will bless the sermon, that God will bless this family and friend day coming up, that God will enlarge our coast and help us to do more for God. See, it all starts with prayer. It should start with prayer. So what can I do to help? Number one, pray for God's blessing on our reach and influence. But number two, the next thing you can do after you've prayed, there's not much you should do before you pray, but there is lots you can do after you pray. The next thing you could do, go up to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. I said number one, pray for God's blessing on our reach and influence. But number two, participate in our soul winning program. Say, Pastor, what can I do to help Verity Baptist Church continue to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's very simple. You can help us go soul winning. You can participate. You can take part. See, at Verity Baptist Church, we average somewhere around 150 people in church on Sunday mornings, and we average somewhere around 50 soul winners a week. That's a great number. That's a lot bigger than most fundamental Baptist churches I ever went to. I went to churches that average 100 people on a Sunday morning, and they average 3 soul winners every week. We average somewhere around 150 people and 50 soul winners. That's one-third of the congregation out there knocking doors, inviting people to church, preaching the gospel. That's great, but you know what? It's not good enough. God did not call one-third of his people to go out soul winning. God called everyone. He says, go ye, therefore. He says, I want all of you to participate in the ministry of preaching the gospel. And here's the thing. We don't have enough soul winners at Verity Baptist Church for the amount of people we need to reach in Sacramento. When you look at the amount of people that need the gospel in this area, you say, we don't have enough. But you know what? That's the same problem that Jesus had. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, notice what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. This is Jesus saying, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. There's a lot of harvest that needs to be brought in. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous. Notice what he says, but the laborers are few. He said, we don't have enough laborers. So what does he say to do? Does this sound familiar? Didn't we just say this? Look at verse 38, pray. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. See, Jesus looked at his area and said, there's a lot that needs to be done, and we don't have enough people willing to do it. And he said, he tells his disciples, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, and I'm praying that God would send us laborers. I'm praying that God would give us soul winners, and I'm praying that God will move in your heart and convict you to have compassion upon people that would get saved if someone would preach them the gospel. They would get saved. There's people that would receive salvation if someone just brought them the gospel, but we're too busy. We're too lazy is what we are. We're too, you know, infatuated with the things of this world and infatuated with the things of God. Hey, I'm asking, would you pray that God would bless our outreach and influence? Would you participate in soul winning? We have a soul-winning marathon coming up. We'd love for you to be a part of it. Some of you said, well, I'd like to go soul-winning. I just don't know how. Hey, look, we will partner you up with someone. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. We're not going to throw you to the wolves. We'll put you with someone. You can be a silent partner. We'll have someone. They're trained. They know what to do. You can just sit there. You say, well, what do I do? Here's what you do. You pray. While they're preaching the gospel, while they're giving the gospel to someone, you pray silently in your head that God would bless them and that God's Holy Spirit would work in the heart of that unbeliever that might get saved. And then you learn. And you know what? We've got seminars and we've got DVDs and we've got CDs and we've got all sorts of training that we can put you through. We're not going to make you do anything if you're not comfortable, but would you take part? Would you participate? It's a waste. Every Saturday morning, when we get our 50 soul winners out here and we partner them up, I always feel like it's such a waste when I have to send two people who can talk together. You know, because they're like, that's two people that they could be in separate groups, but I just don't have anybody to partner them with. You know, it'd be great to have some new soul winners to say, hey, you know, every person that can talk was partnered with a silent partner. Every person that can talk was partnered with someone that they can train, that they can fellowship with. You say, what can I do to help? What can I do? Hey, participate in our soul winning program. If you've never gone soul winning, this soul winning marathon would be the perfect time for you to start. The perfect time for you to try it out. To just say, hey, I'll give it a chance. I'll give it a try. I'll go out. You know, partner me with someone. Hey, would you pray for our soul winning? Would you participate in our soul winning program? Would you take part this week, be part of our soul winning group and help us go out and preach the gospel and get people saved and let them know about Jesus Christ and let them know about the church? You're there in Matthew. Go to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You say, what can I do to help? Here's what you can do. Pray. Everyone can do that. There's not one person in this room that couldn't pray that God would enlarge our coast. But number two, you can participate in our soul winning program. Number three, you can petition your friends and family to come check out the church. You can invite friends and family. Look, I'm not telling you have to sit there and preach the gospel to every person you know. That'd be great. We'd love for you to do that. Some of you can't do that because you don't know how to do it. That's all right. Come out soul winning with us. We'll teach you how to do it. But you know, in the Bible, it's interesting that the initial group there of the Lord Jesus Christ was started by friends inviting friends and family inviting family. And they didn't even preach the gospel. They just said to them, come check it out. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, just come check it out. You know, would it be hard for you to go to your friends and your family and say, hey, we're having a family and friend day. And since you're my family and you're my friend, I just want to invite you to come check it out. Will you come check out church? You come see if it'll be a blessing to you. You're there. You say, where do you get that from the Bible? John chapter 1, look at verse 38. John chapter 1, verse 38. Notice what the Bible says. John 1, 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them. Notice what he says. He says, come and see. He says, come and see. He said, just come check it out. And just come with me. Just come be part and see what there is to check out. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now notice how this works. Look at verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon. So you got Andrew who goes to, you know, Jesus says to Andrew, come check it out. Come and see. Then Andrew goes, verse 41, first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Notice verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto them, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, does this sound familiar? Come and see. He said, just come check it out. He said, hey, we found the Messiah. And his friend said to them, can any good thing come? He said, you know, it's like if you invited someone and said, well, I don't even know that I believe. I don't even know that I believe in that religion. I don't even know that I believe that. But I don't know what I think about religion. I don't know what I think about salvation. Here's all you say, hey, why don't you come check it out? Just come and see. Jesus told his disciples, come and see. And then his disciples told their friends, come and see. Philip findeth Nathanael. Andrew findeth Simon. The best way for any ministry to grow is for friends to invite friends, for family to invite family. Look, this is something anybody can do. You say, well, I don't know about the whole soul or anything. I mean, I'm going to try it this weekend. You know, I'm just going to be a silent partner. But here's the thing. You don't have to be an expert in the Bible. You don't have to be an expert in anything to go to your friend and say, hey, you want to check it out? Come and see. Some of you have been asked questions about our church. You go to that church on the news. You say, well, how do I respond to them? You know, tell them, hey, don't believe everything you see on TV. Why don't you come and see? Why don't you come check it out? Why don't you come see what you think? Hey, all I'm saying is this. You say, well, what can I do to help, you know, enlarge our coast, to help do more, to take that mountain? Here's what you can do. Pray for God's blessing on our outreach and influence. Participate in our soul winning program. Petition your friends and family to come check it out, to come and see. Just invite them. And let me give you some advice when it comes to inviting friends, some things you ought to be watching for and looking for. Over the last 6 years of ministry, I've tried to become a student of what methods work and how things work, and I try to find out when people come to our church and they stick around, try to find out how they came and how they were brought here and the circumstances of their lives. And I found this. I didn't come up with this. I've heard other preachers say this, but I found it to be true. You should invite your friends and family when they are in trouble. When your family is going through a troublous time, maybe they're just, it's a hard time financially, or maybe they're having problems in their relationships, or they're having health issues. Whenever someone is communicating to you the fact that they're in some sort of trouble, they're having some sort of issues in their lives, there are some trials and tribulations, that's a perfect time to invite them to church. Somebody comes to you and says, I don't know what to do. My marriage is falling apart. I don't know what to do with my finances. I mean, I just can't get ahead in life. You know, I don't know what to do. My children, I feel like I'm losing. You know, here's all you can say. Hey, you know what? I don't have all the answers for you, but I know God does. Why don't you come and see? Why don't you come check it out? You know, when people are in trouble, when they're going through trials, that's a great time to invite them to church. Here's another time you ought to invite your friends and family to church, when they're in transition. You gotta invite them when they're in trouble, but you gotta invite them when they're in transition. So what do we mean by transition? Whenever someone's starting something new or ending something new, it's a great time to get them connected in church. they're getting married, say, hey, you ought to come check out church. You know, you and your wife just got married, you ought to come see. Come and see. Come check it out. Somebody's having a baby. Somebody's starting a business. Somebody's getting a new job. Somebody's moving. They just moved into the area. Whenever someone is in transition, that's a perfect time. That's a great time to get them plugged in. By the way, let me say this. For those of you that caught Verity Baptist Church, you're home. When people are in transition, that's usually when we lose people. You'd be surprised how many people you lose when they have a baby or when they get a new job. Or when they move down the street. It's like you move down the street from where you were living before. I don't understand why you quit coming to church, you know? So you got to be careful with those things. Whenever you are in transition, be wary of those things and realize, hey, let's be faithful to church. Let's be faithful to the house of God. So you got to invite your friends and your family when they are in trouble. You got to invite your friends and your family when they are in transition. You got to invite your friends and your family when they desire teaching. If your friend is telling you, man, my church I go to, I just feel like I'm not getting fed. I just feel like I'm not learning anything. I've been there for 2 years, and I just feel like it's the same thing every week. Hey, look, you know, if there's one thing we major on at Verity Baptist Church is teaching the Bible. Amen. In fact, it's the only thing we major on, all right? No one's coming here because of our great, you know, entertainment. Because we put on quite a production with our, you know, we don't have a rock concert church. No one's coming here because of our great facilities. In fact, the facilities may be getting worse, all right? You know, nobody comes here because of our great children's ministries. They don't exist. We're family integrated. You say, why do people come here? Because they want to learn the Bible. Why do people come here? Because they want to. Because they want someone to stand up and to preach the Bible and to not water it down and to not be shallow and to help. So you have a friend who's saying, man, I'm going to this church every week and I feel like I'm not learning anything. And you're sitting there going, oh, yeah, that's too bad. Man, what about that weather? You got to say, hey, come to my church. Well, you can learn the Bible. You might not like half of it, but you can learn it. You can learn the word. You say, when should you invite friends? When should you invite family? When they're in trouble, when they're in transition, when they desire teaching. So what can I do to help develop a pioneering spirit? Pray. Anyone can do that. Come to the prayer meeting. Help us pray. There's power in collective prayer. Come pray with us that God would bless our outreach and our influence. Number two, participate in our soul winning program. Number three, petition your friends and family to come check out the church. Let me give you a fourth thing you can do. Go to Mark chapter number one. Mark chapter one. You're there in John. You're going to go backwards past Luke into the book of Mark. Mark chapter one. Look at verse number 42. Mark chapter one and verse 42. The Bible says this. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Jesus here healed a man with leprosy, and he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer thy cleansing, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now he just healed a man, and he even tells him, like, don't tell a lot of people about this. I don't want this becoming a big thing, you know, that I healed you. Just go to the priest and do what the Moses commanded that you're supposed to do. But notice what the guy does in verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. You know what you could do? You could promote what God has done for you. You know, last week I was talking about Facebook. I was talking about one of the sins of Facebook is that people promote themselves. You know what you could do on Facebook is promote God? You know what you could do on Facebook is promote Verity Baptist Church and the blessing it's been in your life? You know, something you could do is just quit talking so much about yourself and how great you are and talk about how great God is and how wonderful God is. And here's the thing. At Verity Baptist Church, our church has a Facebook page. Our church has YouTube pages. You know what we use those? To promote the Word of God, to promote the preaching of God's Word. And I'm not saying you need to put every one of our sermons on your Facebook page, but you know what? Every once in a while, when there's a sermon that is a blessing personally to you, it's fine for you to say, hey, let me put this sermon on my blog or on my Facebook or on my YouTube and let people know, hey, this was a great sermon that touched my heart. Maybe it'll be a blessing to you. Publicize what God is doing, not you, and emphasizing yourself, but what God is doing for you. You know, my wife has a blog, and the blog's about family and homeschooling and things of that nature. But from time to time, she'll post a sermon up there that she likes or something that's going on in our church. And I even tell her, you know, And she understands this. You know, we don't want her blog to become just an advertising outlet for Verity Baptist Church. So it's very rare that she does those things. But from time to time, she may do something like that. And you know what? You may have a blog. You may have a Facebook. You may have a whatever. Hey, imagine all the money we could save on advertising. Everybody was just saying, hey, this was a great sermon. Hey, this was a great service. We have a family and friend day coming up. You ought to come and see. You ought to come check it out. Now, let me give you some advice when it comes to promotions, because I always got to be careful with these things. Promote the things we promote. Because I've noticed people don't want to promote the things we promote. They want to promote the things we don't promote. You know, at Verity Baptist Church, you go on our Facebook page, you're going to see us promoting Family and Friend Day. You know why? Because Family and Friend Day is something we want to invite a lot of people to do. Sometimes we do things at Verity Baptist Church that are not meant for the community. They're meant for you, the family. We want to be a blessing to you. Sometimes we'll have things that, and we don't put those on Facebook. We'll announce them here. But then I'll notice, like, those are the services that everybody wants to invite, you know, all their friends and their cousin, you know. Because usually when we're doing nice things for you guys, we're doing really nice things for you guys. You know, we're spending a lot of money. And people are like, oh, come to this. Hey, you know, promote the things we promote. If we're not promoting it publicly to the community, then maybe those aren't things you want to promote. You know, the Lord's Supper service is not something I promote to the whole world. That's for our church. But, you know, there are things like Family and Friend Day. There are things like soul-winning marathons in Vancouver and things that we're doing. There are things that would be good things for you to promote. And, hey, maybe you can help us and publish some of those things and publicize some of those things and promote what God is doing in your life. But be careful not to make it about you. Be careful not to make it about yourself. So what can you do? Number one, pray for God's blessing on our outreach. Number two, participate in our soul winning program. Number three, petition your friends and family to come and see. Number four, promote our sermons and our events online. Number five, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the last one I'll give you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You're there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans 1st, and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. So what's the first thing you can do? You can pitch in financially. You can pitch in financially. Well, I knew it was going to get to this. No, you didn't. Because it's very rare that I talk about money at Verity Baptist Church. But you know what? I'm not afraid to, because the Bible talks about it. And let me let you in on a little secret. All these things you love about Verity Baptist Church, the coffee and donuts, the field trips, the Spanish class for the kids, the PE class, the all the gifts and the van and the church plan and all the things. You know, let me let you in on something. All of that costs money. Did you know that? I know the lights were flickering. You know, you're like, well, Pastor, are you preaching because they're going to cut our lights? Yeah, I don't know. As far as I know, we're paying our bills, all right? I'm not preaching this because we're in trouble. But I'm telling you, it costs money to run these lights. It costs money to run that van. It costs money to buy the things and do the things we do around here. And something you could help do to help is to pitch in financially. Now, let me say this, and I've always said this every time I preach on this. If you have a bad attitude about giving, keep your money. And here's the thing. If you're going to walk up to me and complain about, I gave money to the church and now I'm broke, if you want to see Pastor Hernandez blow up on someone, just come up and tell me that. Because I will literally just throw your stinking money in your face and yell at you. I don't want your money if you're going to sit there and complain about it. I don't want your money if you're going to give it with a bad attitude. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 says this, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We give away more money around here than you can think of. I mean, we help people, and we give our benevolence account. I mean, talk to Brother Stuggy if you don't believe me. We help people. We love on people. We try to be gracious and loving to people. But listen to me. If you're going to sit there and give to Verity Baptist Church and then complain about it the whole time, your money perish with you. Keep your stinking money. We don't need it. But if you have a good attitude, and you, praise the Lord, and you purpose in your heart to give, hey, God, the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. And here's the thing about money. When you give to a ministry that's saving the souls of men, that goes to your account. You're there in 2 Corinthians. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You're there in 2 Corinthians. You're going to go past Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse number 16. Philippians chapter 4. We don't charge for anything at Verity Baptist Church. Everything we give around here is free. We'll never tell you the CD costs this much, the DVD costs this much, the Bible costs. We give people our hymn books. We give people our Bibles. We're giving this church plant up there our speakers and our cameras. I mean, you want to talk about giving away money and investing money. Look, we're not about money around here, but I'll tell you something. It takes money to run a ministry. It takes money to do things for God. And it's not wasted when you invest it in the things of God. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 16. Philippians 4:16, the Bible says this, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again." He's talking about the fact that they gave special offerings and money. He said, "Unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift," notice what he says, "but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." He said, when you paid for me to go preach the gospel, he said, that fruit's going to abound to your account. In heaven, you're going to get credit for that because you took part in that. And when you support Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento or in Vancouver, and you support our missionaries and our church plants and the evangelism and things that we're doing, then that is fruit that will abound to your account. You'll be glad you did. So what can I do? You can pitch in financially. Now keep your finger there in Philippians. We're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. But go with me to Joshua chapter number 13. Remember I told you we'd be done when we get to Joshua? We're going to look at a reference in Joshua and then we're going to look at a reference in Philippians and we'll be done. What can I do to help maintain the pioneering spirit of Verity Baptist Church? Pray for God's blessing on our outreach and influence. Participate in our soul winning program. Petition your friends and families to come and see, to come and check it out. Promote our sermons and events online and with your family. Pitch in financially and support this ministry financially and help us reach more people and do more things. Here's the thing. There's much work ahead of us. In Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1, Joshua is an old man and he's getting ready to retire and be done with the work that God has for him. And he says this in Joshua 13 and verse 1. Now, the Bible says this, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." Joshua said, "I brought you as far as I could." He said, "We've accomplished great things for God." He said, "I'm getting ready to walk off the stage here." But he said, "You know what? There's still more to do." And I'm telling you, Verity Baptist Church, we have not arrived. We are not done. The average church in America averages somewhere between 100 and 130 people. You say, "Well, we've hit the average. Are we done, Pastor?" No, we're done. "There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." There's more churches that need to be started. There's more souls that need to be saved. There's more people that need to be baptized. There's more disciples that need to be created. There's more soul winning that needs to be done. We're not done. We're just getting started. There's a lot of work ahead of us. And we need your help. Can you get back to Philippians 1? Philippians 1 and verse 27. This is the last verse we'll look at this morning. Philippians 1 and verse 27. Notice what the Bible says. Philippians 1, 27 says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Notice, the emphasis is on the gospel. "That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind." Notice these words, "striving together for the faith of the gospel." See, if the gospel is going to get out, you and I are going to have to strive together. We're going to have to work together. And you know, here's the thing about teamwork. You accomplish more when you work together. You accomplish exponentially more. It's not like one person is doing work, and then when another person comes along, they do twice as much work. No, they do three, four times as much work. And here the Bible tells us, and Paul is telling us, for the faith of the gospel, for the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to strive together. And that's what I'm asking for you this morning. Would you strive with us? Would you partner with us? Would you help us through prayer, participation, through inviting your friends? Grab one of these cards on your way out this morning. Just invite your neighbor, invite your friend, invite someone. You know someone who's in trouble. You know someone who's in transition. You know someone who's desiring to teach. Say, "Hey, come check it out." You know, bribe them. We have food afterwards. You say, "All right, is that spiritual?" Jesus fed, you know, 5,000. You know, let them know, "Hey, we have coffee and donuts. We have a jump house. It's going to be a great time. There's a gift for everyone." Invite your friends. Take part. Promote our church. Pitch in financially. Strive with us. And develop a pioneering spirit that says we want to do more, want to accomplish more, want to take that mountain, want to enlarge our coast, we want to enlarge our tent, we want to strengthen our cords, we want to occupy till he comes. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer.